Hey, it's David. We're just about to get started here with Lou Bortone and today's micro workshop. Let's see. Tell me if you can hear me and see the screen yet. You should be able to see the screen and hear me just fine. So go ahead and type in Stan, Terry, Tim. If you wouldn't mind, do that. That'd be great. And Stan says, yes, great. Excellent. Excellent. Thanks, Terry. All right. So give me a moment of silence here. Oh, Lou, would you say something so they can hear you as well?
Hello, hello.
There's Lou. So if I can hear him, you can hear him, I bet. That's excellent. Good. Terry Bork says hello, Lou.
Hi.
All right. So give me a moment of silence. We'll fire this thing up. Hey, this is David Perdue from MyNAMS.com and the Novice to Advanced Marketing System. And this is another one of our Insiders Micro Workshops. We are, again, like we do every month, digging in deep on a topic that is essential to doing business online. One of those is using, and I'm not even going to call it a video channel. I'm going to call it the number two search engine in the world, which is what YouTube is. It is a video channel, but it is also the number two search engine in the world. And one of the things that I love about it, and the reason I'm moving, I was just telling Lou, the reason I'm moving everything from GoToWebinar to Webinar Jam using Google Hangouts is because of the benefits that you get from using YouTube as well as integrating with all of the Google search engine stuff. So, you know, there's a lot to talk about here today. And we have Lou Bortone with us today, who is a guest expert because he knows everything about YouTube. He's been doing YouTube a long time, and I think I even have your YouTube channel up here on the screen so that we can take a look at what you've done.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I'm kind of afraid to see what's on there.
Well, you never really know, right? It's always the latest whatever it is. But Lou, you do stuff that's just off the wall as well as great training. You know, I noticed that you've done, you've started a video series, Tips on Video Marketing. And you've also got some Scooter the Squirrel things here. And you got the LouTubes, which I think are hilarious, where you play Moses and you do The Night Before Christmas and a Dr. Seuss thing. And here's one of my funniest ones, I think, is Lou as a dysfunctional coach. And I love that, a baseball coach or a football coach, whatever it is. But I love it. And you're not afraid to do stuff, man. I love it.
Well, the funny thing is I'm afraid to be on camera, which is why I do all that.
So we're going to talk about a lot of things, including what happens if you're afraid to be on camera. You know, that's you're not alone in that. A lot of people say, I don't want to be on camera. And before we get into it, though, tell people how you got here and why you're doing video. You have a lot of experience in it.
Sure. Well, I grew up in the TV business. My dad worked at a TV station up here in Boston for his entire career, so I spent pretty much every weekend of my childhood in a television station. So when I got out of school, I went right into TV and radio and did that for many, many years in Boston and in Los Angeles. And then in a moment of insanity, I left my big Hollywood job and came back to Boston. Just because, you know, the web was kind of blowing up and everything was online. So I moved my business online and started doing video marketing because it just seemed to be to me that that's the way everything was headed. So I you know, kind of abandoned all my offline stuff and really just brought my whole business online with a heavy focus on video.
So when you say you brought your whole business online, are you talking about the kind of video production you were doing?
Yeah, I mean, when I came back to Boston, I was doing sort of traditional video production and commercials and doing a lot of things for nonprofits where you'd go out with the lights and the camera and the equipment and, you know, spend through. Partner had like a $15,000 video camera, and he literally sold his camera and traded it in for an iPad and an iPhone, and we just said, you know, we don't need to do all this craziness out here anymore. Let's just, you know, put it online. So I went from, you know, $15,000 something camera to an iPhone to shoot video.
No kidding. So, you know, I grew up in the photography world, and that was one of the things that we noticed as well. I was talking to one of the guys that I used to employ. I used to be a photography manager, and I used to employ this guy on a freelance basis. And I was talking to him yesterday, and I said, "Are you still doing photography work?" And he said, "Yeah, I've got a half dozen clients that I still work with." But he said, "I've got all digital cameras, very expensive digital cameras." And he mm-hmm. said, "One of my assignments was with Sports Illustrated," and he said, "I'd shot this all day assignment with these digital cameras. And as I was leaving, I saw something that I thought would make a good picture, and I whipped out my iPhone and shot it. And they used it as a double spread in Sports Illustrated, and they never knew it was iPhone until he told them later."
That's the amazing thing. I mean, it's like, you know, the playing field's been leveled. And what I tell folks is, you know, when I first started in La La Land in Los Angeles.
So an iPhone, is that truly what you use mostly today?
Most of the time, I use my webcam in my Mac if I'm just, you know, in front of my computer doing a PowerPoint or something like that. But whenever I'm out and about, it's always the iPhone or the iPad.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the quality's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, and the other thing that's kind of interesting, and I know we're going to get into more of this on YouTube, but what I'm noticing now is that the TV networks and CNN and NBC are Skyping in their guests and, you know, doing everything on webcam, and they're not as worried about the quality. They just want the interview or the content.
Yeah.
And I say if Skype is good enough for CNN, it's good enough for me.
Right. Right. And it's been interesting to watch them. Sometimes they'll be standing at opposite ends of a parking lot and doing interviews with each other. It's very strange.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So you're using my iPhone mostly, and you've got your webcam that you use, and you know, it's like I've got in the other room here, I've got $25,000 worth of 35mm camera equipment to make great doorstops. Is that what you're doing with all of your old stuff as well? Talking about the iPhone and all the tools that you use now, so really anybody can have their own TV station practically if you've got an iPhone.
Exactly. I mean, between iPhone and YouTube, you have the same access and resources as the big TV networks at this point.
Wow. And that's what happened in the publishing world not long ago with blogging. Anybody who had a blog was actually a publisher. Then it all comes down to marketing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because it's fine to, you know, create something and put it on YouTube, but, you know, in the world of gazillion videos on YouTube, it's, you know, you want to make sure that people can find the content.
Okay, so that's what we want to talk about today. So if we talk about creating a YouTube channel, so let's just start with that. If we talk about creating a YouTube channel, do you have some basic steps that you have to walk through to start doing that?
Yeah, I mean, it's the actual setup and execution of it is fairly easy when you go on YouTube and basically set up a channel. A lot of people say, do I have a YouTube channel? It's like, well, if you have a YouTube account, you have a YouTube channel that basically kind of used interchangeably. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's really not much you need to do to set up your YouTube channel other than to upload some videos. Of course, you can put a nice description and some graphics and things like that. It's all very tied into your Google Plus account. So all of the Google properties are sort of interrelated. So, you know, as long as you've got a Google Plus account and YouTube, all of those are connected.
Okay.
And should look similar from a branding standpoint.
Is that your branding that you do, or is it that Google Plus takes what you have on your Google Plus account and throws it on your YouTube as well?
That's what they do. They'll basically take the same graphic or artwork that you use on this channel and use that on YouTube. So if you have a profile photo on your Google Plus account, that's what will default on YouTube.
Can you override that?
Yes.
Okay.
So you can put in, you know, you can, I'm just pulling up a different channel here just so I can see what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Oops. Somebody's video. I went to check someone's video channel to see that, and she started playing. So sorry about that.
No problem.
But yeah, I mean, and the main thing on your YouTube account, when someone arrives on your YouTube account, if they have not already subscribed to your channel, you have the opportunity to put I call it a welcome video, but basically it's the main video that's on your site. So you have an opportunity basically to introduce yourself to people who have never been to your channel before.
Okay. I have not done that yet.
Yeah, and somebody who does it really effectively. I mean, I have one on my channel, but Gary Vaynerchuk, who's, you know, obviously fairly famous and best-selling author, and he has obviously a big YouTube channel. And, you know, he basically puts this little one-minute welcome video on his YouTube channel. And he says, okay, if you've seen this, then you've never been to my channel. He puts a lot of personality into it, but it's very obvious that, okay, I'm in the right place. I'm on Gary's channel. So if you don't have that welcome video or some kind of, you know, first impression video on your YouTube channel, you have an opportunity to do that.
So I guess on the welcome video, that's probably a really important first impression thing, right?
It is. It's going to be the first thing that people see when they come to your YouTube channel if they have never been there before. If they have been there before and subscribed, then they have kind of a different view, and they kind of go right into your channel, so they don't have to see the same welcome video over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I like, you know, I use the Gary example because obviously he's, you know, it's very much branded. You know, he's got, what, 30,000 people subscribed to his YouTube channel.
Right.
And if you haven't been there before, the first thing you see is that funny, you know, sort of very personality-driven video from him.
Okay. So the first thing you're going to do is when you create your channel is, do you start organizing, or is there stuff that you want to do on your channel to make sure that it is a more channel-like, or do you create your welcome video first and start with that?
Yeah, the welcome video is a good place to start, especially if you don't already have a lot of video on your page. And then obviously you've got to populate that with content and upload videos. And once you've got videos on your page, you can organize them into playlists.
Okay.
And that's basically just groups of videos, which is good because you may want, you know, Jacob's bar mitzvah video may not be, you know, you may not want that on your business page. You may want that on a personal page or a family page or something like that. So playlists help your viewers curate the content and find what they want to find.
Now, you do a lot of playlists on yours, right?
Yeah, and because I have so many different, you know, goofy videos, and sometimes I want to separate the goofy videos from the more serious videos, so I just put them, I organize them into playlists.
Okay.
And the other benefit of playlists is, in many cases, it'll play all those videos in a row. So if you're watching, if I do a series of video tips, you can watch one right after the other because they're organized in the playlist. You don't have to search around for, you know, okay, I saw tip number 2 and 3, but where's tip number 4?
Okay. So you can organize the content delivery.
Mm-hmm. Because with so many videos on YouTube, really the only way to help your viewers find what they're looking for is to organize it into playlists. And obviously, you know, on your channel and on your videos, you also have to be cognizant of keywords, because as you mentioned at the beginning of the call, YouTube is the number 2 search engine. It's where a lot of folks go to find answers to their problems, or you know, there's a lot of how-to videos on YouTube. If you're using your keywords, it's going to make it that much easier for folks to find your content on YouTube.
So is there something that you can, is the playlist, is that something that you would organize at that level on the keywords and then kind of drill down into more long-tail keywords below that?
Yeah, I mean, you can have keywords on your playlists, just like you can have keywords on an individual video.
Okay.
So if I use the keywords all the time, video marketing or marketing with video, I'm probably going to have that in most of my playlists as well.
Okay.
And then, you know, YouTube, and it gets a little bit, you know, the first few times you do it, it's a little daunting, but after you've uploaded a few videos to YouTube, you kind of have the system down, because basically there's 3 fields or categories that you have when you upload a video to YouTube. You've got your title, which obviously should be specific and have keywords in it. So mine might be something like, you know, video marketing tips with Lou Bortone, semicolon, how to do such and such.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got your description, which is a field where you can put a lot of information. Some people actually put the entire transcript of the video in the description section of their YouTube video.
Wow.
And then the third field is tags, which is essentially just keywords again, so that's another opportunity to list your keywords.
Okay. And tags are the keywords as well.
Yep, tags are the same as keywords.
Okay. Okay. Now, let's see. I want to make sure that we don't get too far too fast. I want to come back up here to the beginning. So tell us about why YouTube marketing is important today.
Well, as you mentioned, YouTube is a search engine, essentially, at this point. You know, when I need something, if I'm trying to find a WordPress plugin or anything like that, I don't even bother with regular Google. I go straight to YouTube because I want to see, you know, okay, I'll be able to find that particular WordPress plugin, and I'll also be able to find, you know, 10 videos on how to do find answers and to solve their problems. And so much of the internet now is being driven by video that it's just almost a must-have these days. So, and YouTube is, you know, obviously the biggest and baddest, you know, video hosting site. It's also a great hub for your videos because basically they'll host your videos for free. And it's an excellent place to, again, I use it sort of as a hub because it's very easy to share your videos from YouTube to many other social sites.
Oh, really?
Facebook, Pinterest, Google Plus, LinkedIn, Twitter. So once you've got a video on YouTube, it's very easy to share it to other social media sites.
Okay.
And then the... Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I was just...
The statistic that I always find kind of amusing and kind of staggering is that you know, 100 hours of video content is uploaded to YouTube every hour of every day. And the other thing that I thought was amusing is if you sat down today to watch every video uploaded on YouTube, it would take you 8,000 years.
So, gee, many Christmas.
I don't know how they calculated that, but some, you know, reputable firm like Forrester, I think it was, that, you know, there's 8,000 years worth of video on YouTube.
Wow.
So that's a lot of video.
It's a lot of video. And now you can actually watch video from YouTube on your TVs as well if you have a smart TV. I mean, you know, so
yeah,
it's everywhere.
Yeah, that's the other interesting thing about, you know, you another reason to be on YouTube as well. Especially the, you know, generations that are slightly younger than us, they're not making any distinction anymore between the TV screen and the computer screen and the tablet screen. It's just, you know, they expect their content and entertainment to be available to them anytime, anywhere, on any screen.
Yeah, and they really don't care what they're looking for. Quality content is my point. And quality content
exactly.
is in your own perception. So, you know, whether it's from somebody who doesn't have a broadcasting station or somebody who has a home computer that's uploaded, that's if it solves your issue, it's gets the highest rating with that person. It's all about personalized marketing these days, right?
Exactly, yep. So content is still king. It's really what's at the core of the whole thing. So, you know, when you're putting content on video, you know, that's the first thing you want to think about. You know, if you have to have something worthwhile to say or do or show or teach.
So, just a quick story. I knew someone in Atlanta. I was a member of the Southeastern Film, what was that called? Southeastern Film Institute, I think it was. And they had a film contest every year, and it's where filmmakers got together. And this was in '84 when I thought I wanted to get into the filmmaking business. And I became friends with the director of that organization. And I think by 87, 88, 89, something like that, I think it was 89, she went on to New York to run the Independent Filmmakers Association in New York. And when she went, she said, the reason I'm doing this is because with the advent of cable, and at that point, cable was the big deal, right, coming in.
Mm-hmm.
She said, we're never, ever going to have enough content to be able to supply all these channels. And it's going to be a boom industry for independent filmmakers. And so what happened after she went up there, and it wasn't her doing, but she was predicting it right, was all of the reality TV stuff exploded because it was so much easier to produce. And so, I mean, that's the reason you see it all over the place now, right? I mean, you have to fill the channels.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, we used to call it in L.A., you know, you got to feed the beast. It's, you know, this insatiable appetite for content and so many channels and so many outlets. You know, somebody's got to provide the material for all those channels.
And so now we are feeding the beast. Everybody that has a YouTube channel is feeding the beast.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, sounds like the demise of broadcasting in some ways.
Yeah, if not, you know, it's interesting because it's really more of the integration and, you know, coming together of broadcast with, you know, like I say, YouTube is on TV and TV is on YouTube, and, you know, the traditional TV networks are falling over themselves trying to, you know, set up internet channels and be on YouTube. And that's the other thing that's kind of interesting about YouTube is, you know, it wasn't that long ago when people thought that, you know, oh, well, that's just teenagers on skateboards and cats playing the piano. But, you know, if you look at YouTube today, it's, you know, luxury car ads and have a strong presence on YouTube.
So the whole YouTube thing, we're going to get into that too, because I know that you, what the last thing you want to do is lose your YouTube account. We want to talk about that too in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about the reason I've got this blank here for the purpose of this course. I want to tell people why they need to be on YouTube, marketing their businesses on YouTube. And we've mm-hmm. talked about the number two search engine in the world. That alone is impressive.
Yep.
And the other thing I can think of is you're really able to get your message and your personality across in ways that you can't in print. So what
exactly.
other reasons should people, why else should people be concerned about doing YouTube marketing or let's just say video marketing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, basically it's the bottom line, I think, is that you can accelerate the sales process. And, you know, if you have a brick-and-mortar business, you know, somebody may have to come into the store a few times to get familiar with it and get familiar with the products and things like that. If you're doing a blog, you know, you can certainly express your personality through the blog and start to build a fan base that way. But nothing is better at accelerating the sales process because you can really express your personality. It's familiar. People are used to watching things sort of on TV because we've been brought up in a visual TV kind of culture. So you can get on YouTube and basically, you know, build your brand, sell your product, share your personality, and that's how people can come to know, like, and trust you very quickly. And the great thing about that is, again, it doesn't take necessarily, you know, 15 blog posts or 30 articles or 3 trips to the store. It may take that one video to say, okay, I like this person, I like what they're offering, and I want to be a part of it.
And it's so easy to subscribe. All you do is click a button.
Yep.
So one of the things that I did start my YouTube channel under our My Nams domain maybe 3-4 months ago. And I know that you get some extra benefits when you hit 100 subscribers, right? And so I had like mm-hmm. 28 or 30 subscribers pretty fast. And I thought, well, I just don't want to mess with going out there and getting 100 subscribers real quick because I'm not doing all of this right now. But I was putting up videos on a regular mm-hmm. basis. And that 100 subscribers came incredibly fast. And I wasn't pushing it. And I don't have a ton of views on my videos yet. So I'm really impressed with how people find you and determine whether they're going to watch you or not.
Right. And there's so many people using YouTube you know, to find content and to answer the questions and to be entertained or whatever it is. That's, you know, there's already such a huge audience on that platform. The chances of them, you know, finding your video if it's related to another one or just coming across you are great, not to mention the, you know, the SEO benefits. You know, now when you do a Google search, they more often than not show you the top video results as well.
Right. So, when you do a YouTube video now, is it automatically going to Google Plus in your channel?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So.
And when you do a Google hang out on air, which is a slightly different topic,
right,
that's going to be sent to Google Plus and YouTube. So the reason I bring that up is one of the best ways to create a lot of YouTube content quickly is to do a handful of Google Hangouts, because those are going to go to YouTube and populate your YouTube channel.
Yep.
So one of the things that I did early on with Google Hangouts on air was I did a tip series of very brief, you know, 1 to 2 minute tips, video tips, and I intentionally did them on Google Hangouts so that they would populate my YouTube channel. And I didn't seek an audience. I knew that there was no audience there. I didn't publicize it. I basically used Google Hangouts as a way to record my video tips and have them sent to YouTube and Google Plus.
Cool. Okay.
So that way I could, you know, I got a whole bunch of videos on YouTube very quickly just by recording my Google Hangout.
So essentially the purpose of this whole thing is really to help you build a bigger audience that is very responsive and engaged.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, as we go through this next section here, one of the things I think we want to focus on is kind of a step-by-step approach. We've got kind of a first approach here. First thing that we're going to do, we've talked about the easy setup, and we think creating a welcome of video is probably the first thing you should do, right?
Yeah, so that you've got that sort of first impression front and center.
Okay.
First thing folks see when they come to your channel.
And should we, and I've got a playlist down here as step two, but that's probably a little bit later once you've got more videos. So I would think the next thing is you would focus on your message. Is that right?
Yeah, you want to, you know, populate your channel with some videos.
Okay.
You know, obviously you've got to put that content into YouTube. And then once you've got a handful of videos, you can start to curate them. Or, you know, sort them into playlists.
Okay. So I want to come back to the step two part of this with the populate your channel with videos. And we've already said that one of the best ways to do this to get started is with Google Plus Hangouts on Air, right?
Yeah, that's an easy way to, you know, add a lot of video content quickly to your channel is do Hangouts on Air, because those are going to go to YouTube by default.
So before we populate with videos, you need to know what you're going to say. And you have to, I would think that you got to determine what your message is and kind of build out scripts. Or how do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, you want to think about, you know, what is the goal of your video and your YouTube channel? So if it's to establish your credibility or increase your visibility, you want to think about, you know, why am I doing this video? What's the goal of the video? I can't remember who it was, Brian Tracy, I said, or who said, begin with the end in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So think about the goal for your channel so that rather than just sort of kind of throwing videos against the wall and seeing if they stick, you've got a strategic plan for your videos. So if you're coming to YouTube for the first time, or maybe you have some videos there and you haven't really done it strategically, you think about, okay, well, I want to do video to sort of, you know, become the go-to person in this niche and establish my expertise and credibility, so I'm going to share what I know on YouTube. And you can do that through a tip series or through a series of classes or workshops. I do like a half hour free webinar every week on Friday, and then I can put those videos on YouTube as content as well. So I'm repurposing, you know, it's like, okay, I've got this webinar, it's already done and recorded. I may as well put it on YouTube as additional YouTube content.
You've gone strictly to Webinar Jam as your platform, right?
Yes. Yep.
Talk a little bit about that just for folks who don't know what we're talking about here.
Sure. Well, Webinar Jam uses Google Hangouts as, you know, at the core to sort of broadcast your webinars. And Webinar Jam is basically marketing software that integrates with Google Hangouts. So when I do a webinar on Webinar Jam, because it's on Google Hangouts, it's also sent to my Google Plus account and my YouTube account. So once that webinar is complete, it's going to appear on YouTube as content unless I go to YouTube and, you know, delete it or make it unlisted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
so,
in some cases, I will do that because, you know, if it's a private webinar or a paid webinar, mm-hmm. You know, okay, that's going to go to YouTube. I don't want it to be public. I simply go to YouTube and make it private or unlisted, because you can categorize your videos as public, private, or unlisted.
And the new Webinar Jam actually lets you schedule that as an unlisted webinar from the beginning, so you don't even have to go to YouTube anymore. They do it for you, so that's great.
Oh, excellent. Yep.
Yep. So you can actually use YouTube with those three categories, private, unlisted, or public, to public being your marketing channel, unlisted mm-hmm. could be your educational channel, the paid channel or whatever. And private yeah. can be, you know, kind of a training thing that you wanted, so that you can designate users that you want to see these videos on how to do things on your website or whatever.
Exactly, yep.
So that's a really powerful thing, and it took me a while to understand exactly what those were, because I had private and unlisted mixed up.
Yeah, and just for folks who don't know, unlisted means that anyone with the link can see it, and private means you basically have to give, you know, specific people permission to see it. So what I do usually is I put my client videos, I make them private, and then I give the client the specific link. And say, yes, it's okay for, you know, client A or client B to access this video.
Right. So I'm going to type this in here to get the distinction down. Group, anyone with the video link, with link, can access. And the private was for basically by invite is what that is, really.
Right. You need to go into YouTube and say, you know, I give David or do permission mm-hmm. to see this video.
Right. Okay. And public is really the world, so that's your marketing channel.
Yep.
Okay. And one of the things that I love, and I folks who were on our weekly live training yesterday saw us doing our first Webinar Jam weekly live training instead of GoToWebinar. My GoToWebinar account expires next month, and I was telling you, Lou, before we got on here, that I am actually mm-hmm. going Webinar Jam all the way and letting my grandfathered GoToWebinar account expire because of mm-hmm. the way YouTube has finally organized itself and integrated with everything, and it does the processing for you so that you can it's just amazing to me that this tool is available for all of us now, that you can create your content and the technology takes care of the rest for you. So it's pretty amazing.
It's great. It automates the process. I mean, you know, in the not so old days of GoToWebinar, I say, okay, I have to find my replay. In some cases, I've got to edit my replay and make sure it gets posted to my YouTube channel. And now with, you know, Google Hangouts and Webinar Jam, it almost automatically goes to YouTube, unless, like you say, you tell it not to.
Okay, so you're bringing up, I mean, we were talking about stuff that makes YouTube, if you're invested in YouTube, it's going to be so valuable for you, right? So you don't want to lose it. Talk to me about being safe with YouTube, your YouTube
right.
account.
Well, basically, you know, it's not too difficult to stay out of the YouTube doghouse, but you don't want to do things that, you know, you're infringing on copyrights. Most, you know, that's usually the biggest mistake people make with YouTube is they say, oh, I've got this great video montage and I'm going to use this, you know, Coldplay song in the background, which you can't do. You're going to get in trouble if you use music that is, you know, obviously copywritten. And you're going to get in trouble if you use clips, you know, like if I wanted to do, a scene from The Godfather, I can't just lift that video and put it into my video, obviously. So that's the biggest way to get in trouble.
I'll give you a quick example of something that I got in trouble for, and it wasn't trouble very long because I was able to explain it. But I did a video of my wife conducting the Handel Messiah, and I put that up. And I got a YouTube, basically a notification that said, this is copyrighted material, and here's all these people who have copyrighted this material. And and it was a list of publishing companies. And so I sent back a letter and said, this was published in 1615. And it's public domain, and here's exactly what it is and where it is. And it was a high school chorus. And and they removed it. But it was interesting that that was an automated process. It was obviously automated process. They recognized the song, and which was good because the chorus would have been really bad if they didn't. and they recognized the song, and they knew that some of these publishing companies, like Sony, had done their own arrangements. So they were checking it. But that's the only time that that's happened.
And it is, you know, it is really random and automated, you know. So you do have to be careful, and you do, as you did, have to explain to them sometimes, you know, tell a human being that, you know, well, wait a second, this is a 500-year-old song, so I think we're okay. So I mean, that's the kind of thing you can get in trouble for. And I think, you know, last I checked, YouTube sort of has a three-strike policy, so even if you make a few innocent mistakes, you can usually not get your account yanked from you.
So there was another thing I wanted to ask you about on that. We want to be really clear that if you've got music and you're playing in your office, like the radio in the background, that's going to get you dinged, right? So you can't have anything.
It's amazing what YouTube can pick up from that. You know, if even the other thing that I found was there was a site that used to give you that they actually went out of business. It's called One True Media, and I used to do a lot of photo montages with that. And they would offer you on their service, on One True Media, they'd say, okay, put a song to this, and they would have a cover song. So I would have like a Beach Boys cover song, but YouTube doesn't make that distinction. They still hear Beach Boys, and they say, nope, can't do that. So sometimes even the video services that say, oh, you know, use our music, well, that's okay, but if it's, if YouTube finds that it's still, you know, some kind of copywritten music, then you can get in trouble.
Yeah, and that actually was an issue with Animoto. I was using Animoto to create those things, and I got dinged with Animoto as well. I guess I'd gotten two of those messages. I got dinged with Animoto, and Animoto actually has the rights to use all of these songs that they provide on their site, but they are copyrighted by the people who own the songs. So you have to have a letter that you get from Animoto that says we own the rights to distribute and we pass those rights to you. And it's kind of a pain, but they are working that out with YouTube so that they are copacetic about it. And it was immediately fixed as well. But YouTube will ding you on those things.
Just yeah, and one of the things that, that happened to me that was kind of funny, and I was like, how did they figure that out? There was one time, I think you mentioned earlier, you know, because I don't really like being on camera, I would do costumes and props and goofy stuff, and I did something with a Dr. Seuss. I think I did a video called Spam I Am about spam. And YouTube somehow found that close enough so that, you know, it says, you know, this is a Dr. Seuss, you know, Theodore, whatever his name is, thing, and you can't do that. And I was like, wow, how did they figure that out?
Well, and that's pretty interesting, too, because there are a whole bunch of parody laws. I mean, who was it? Weird Al Yankovic got away with a ton of stuff, and he won all of his court cases.
Yeah, so again, I'm not an attorney or anything close, but when in doubt, leave it out.
Okay. So that's about infringement. What about marketers? I've heard of marketers losing their YouTube accounts. Does that happen still, or has that been fixed?
And that's when I think a lot of it comes down to common sense. I mean, if you know, if you're going to make crazy claims and that kind of thing, then you know, you're probably not going to get away with it for long on YouTube.
Okay. So really what you're saying is the marketers who got in trouble were saying things that they couldn't substantiate.
Right.
Okay.
So, you know, I wouldn't do a video that says, you know, make $3 million in 20 minutes or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's the Be Safe with YouTube accounts. So now we've figured out what our goal is. We are creating our welcome video based on the goal, and we know what we can and can't do to stay safe with our YouTube account. So we're populating these videos. We're adding videos to our video channel, and let's say we started with Hangouts on Air. We might have done other
web. You know, maybe you've done webinars that you recorded that you can upload to YouTube. It used to be that YouTube had a 15-minute limit, but that's not the case for most accounts anymore. So,
well, definitely when you go beyond the 100 subscribers, I know that.
Yep. So once you've got 100 subscribers, if you want to put a 45-minute or an hour-long webinar on YouTube, you can certainly do that.
Okay. And you can also upload now directly with your iPhone or iPad or Android or any other mobile device, right?
Yep, exactly. And the other thing that a lot of people don't realize is when you go to the upload section of YouTube, you can actually upload direct from a webcam. So you can record on the fly straight to YouTube.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
So you can capture videos from your webcam. Like I'm looking at my upload picture. It says webcam capture is one way to upload videos. Hangouts on Air, they have that option as well. They also have something called Create Photo Slideshow.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently you can pull images from your photo albums and use those to build a photo montage or a slideshow on YouTube.
And you can even add music, I think, now from YouTube to enhance. They've got a whole enhance section where you can add music or whatever you want to do.
Right. So now YouTube gives you a lot of music that you can use so you don't have to, you know, get in trouble by using that mm-hmm. old Coldplay song or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're populating with your videos, populating your channel with your videos, and once you've done that and you've got stuff moving in the directions that you want to go, and we probably don't want to start we want to market as soon as we start doing our videos.
Right.
Right. We want to mm-hmm. make sure that we're moving in the right direction all the time with our marketing. So talk about that and how we start marketing immediately.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the ways you can market immediately from YouTube is that YouTube does make it very easy to share your video from YouTube to other social sites. So if you link your YouTube account with your Facebook account, Twitter account, LinkedIn account, it's fairly easy to, you know, this is kind of a one-time thing. Okay, my YouTube account is now connected to my social media accounts. So that means when I upload a video to YouTube, I can share that with one click to Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, LinkedIn, all those other sites.
Okay, I'm going to click on one of your videos, and maybe you can show us what you're talking about there.
Sure. Okay.
This is Tips 10 coming up, maybe. Okay, so share, you got a share button here.
Okay, I'm on a little delay, so I haven't seen that.
Oh, yeah, of course.
The screen hasn't popped in yet.
Maybe I should let you do it, and I'll record your screen. How about that? Make you presenter?
Sure. So here is a video that I uploaded, which was a quick, well, not really quick, 20-minute iMovie tutorial. So once I upload this video, if I want to get it out and share it, I go to my share button. Can you see that share button?
Yep, I see it.
And then all of these social media icons are places where I can send my video, again, with just that one click. So if I want to share this video on Facebook, I just click the Share to Facebook button. And then you see the other window that popped up?
Yep.
Post to Facebook. So I can just immediately, by clicking Share, send that video right to my Facebook account.
Okay.
Same thing with Twitter. I can tweet the link out to that video. Oops. And same with, you know, Pinterest and LinkedIn. Some of these other ones, I don't have this one because it looks like it's Russian or something.
Yep.
But you could see where they can make it very, very easy for you to start to spread your video and share it. And you can also email your video, so you can populate the email addresses here and have the link to the video. It says Lou Bortone shared a video with you on YouTube, and here's what the video is. You can embed the video in your website or blog, which I would suggest that you do. So you go to the embed button and mm-hmm. copy the embed code and put that on your website or blog.
Okay.
So there's really a lot of ways to get your video out there just using the share button.
Okay.
And then if you go to the add to button, here's where you can put it into your playlists as well. So when you do the video, you probably want to add it to a playlist. So if it's a specific series, like if I had a tutorial playlist, I would put this tutorial in that playlist. Now, this I did this for private groups, so there's no views and no, you know, I haven't done
right,
any sharing
sure.
with it.
Sure.
Because this was for a membership thing. So basically what I did was I just used YouTube as the host, and then I only gave the link, because it's an unlisted video, I only gave the link to my members.
Mm-hmm.
So I selected the link, and I said, here's your private iMovie tutorial.
So you're actually using YouTube as a membership delivery system, content delivery system as well?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there's another way that people can use YouTube and profit from it.
Exactly. So even though, you know, I'm not sharing this video, and at some point I may make it public and just share it publicly, but for this particular video, I made it unlisted, and I only shared it with my members.
Mm-hmm.
The other interesting thing about this page is if you look at the right-hand side on any video page, you're going to see a lot of video suggestions.
Right.
And in this case, I must have done something right, most of those are mine,
mm-hmm.
except for Jimmy Fallon, and that's I'm happy to be in that company. But a lot of times, these videos are from other people. So, you know, they might be other creators or something, and you don't want people to go off on another channel if they're on your page and get distracted and go away. And I learned this from Tom Antion, so I'll call it the Antion keyword trick. The way that I get most of these videos on the right-hand side to be mine is I use a nonsense keyword that no one else would use. So I use like my last name backwards, and I use that in a keyword of every video. So YouTube finds those videos. And again, I want to credit Tom Antion, because I at a conference I heard that from him. He said, use a nonsense keyword in all your videos to link your videos.
Oh,
so
that's
that
brilliant.
Keyword is so specific. Yeah, and that keyword, because it's my last name backwards, is so specific to me and wouldn't make sense to anyone else. YouTube finds it and links your videos together.
That's brilliant.
Otherwise, this sidebar would be a gazillion other things. Now, I don't know how Jimmy Fallon snuck in here, but like I say, I'm okay with that.
Huh. That is really
interesting.
And then
I'll tell you one other thing while I'm here. Because this shared my videos, I want to skip over to this one because I want to show you. We talked earlier about videos using Google Hangouts.
Mm-hmm.
So I recorded a video series from Google Hangouts. So mm-hmm. I started on screen doing my Google Hangout, and then I went to a slide from my ebook that was the specific tip that I was sharing. In this case, it was about, you know, the audience is more important than the number of views.
Mm-hmm.
And because I recorded it from Google Hangouts, it went to YouTube directly. And I didn't bother, I should have, but I didn't bother to go in and edit this and change my keywords. So in this case, mm-hmm. The videos on the right-hand side are not mine. They are other people's.
Mm-hmm.
One of them's mine, but most of them are other folks. So I would have to go into this video and go to the info and settings and change the, you know, keywords and put my, you know, last name backwards and all that kind of stuff in here to make it more specific and easier for folks to find. Hmm. So if you upload a video from Google Hangouts and you don't bother changing it, it's only going to say Hangouts in the
So it's really no keywords section. So you really need to go back and modify and customize.
Right. And then the other thing is that, you know, I always start my video description with a link back to my site. So I put the entire URL. Oops, too many W's. So most of the time I just do luboton.com presents, blah, blah, blah. So when I save the changes and I go back to that video, now that's a live link back to my site.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'll stop this so it doesn't play.
So Terry's got a question here that says, so when you have it unlisted for your members on your website, is just the link to the video? Are you putting just the link to the video on your website? Is that what you're saying? Basically what she's saying was when you put it in your blog, when you embed it in your blog, it doesn't matter about the unlisted, right? Because you are putting that in your blog. It's only when they search for it, they're not going to find it.
Yep. So if you take that embed code again that they give you, as soon as you put that, even in an unlisted video, if you put this embed code in your blog, they'll still be able to see the whole video.
Right. Right. Is that what you were asking, Terry? Make sure that we got that covered. Okay, so when you put up a video on the site, I noticed that there is on the edit. Go to an edit of this video. Let's say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Edit. Yep.
And on mine, I have it set up, I think, so I have some share buttons over here on the right when you're doing this. And it has my Google Plus share. And maybe it's because this was a Hangout on Air that's not sharing.
Mm-hmm.
I bet that's true.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
if it's one that you load up, you have the option to actually share from this page when you save it.
Yep.
Okay.
And then the other thing, because people get hung up on this sometimes, is, you know, they usually give you three thumbnails to choose from. And, you know, I used to kid that YouTube will find the worst possible three thumbnails when you're yawning or you've got your mouth open or you're drooling or something.
Right.
So if you want to go in and upload a custom thumbnail, that's not a bad idea, because that way you can control what people see when they come to the video.
Right. And that is like the cover of your book, so it does have an impact.
Because, again, you know, a lot of these thumbnails, they're defaulting to just the person on camera. You might want to put a title slide or something. You know, I mean, there's one that used a title slide that's more interesting. Or in my cases, in some of my tips, I'm using the photo as the thumbnail. And I think it's more interesting.
Okay, so I'm going to add the Antion tip here. And do you have other examples that you want to show us of marketing tips to go through?
Just in as long as we're here, in terms of, you know, if you can see here, now I pulled up Gary Vaynerchuk's channel, and he has, you know, a really personality driven welcome video on his page. So and then he's got his playlists divided by interviews and keynotes. So you can go in and, you know, if you're looking for a particular keynote address from Gary Vaynerchuk, he makes it fairly easy for you to find those videos.
So actually, this is a really good thing to talk about here, because if you are a speaker and you have video of you speaking at different events, you could have a playlist for that. So that would help you get more speaking gigs, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
If you're a trainer, you want to have a training playlist. If you are being interviewed on Hangouts with other people, you have interview. So I love the way this is organized.
Yeah. So it's a nice, you know, clean. It's not very confusing. You can tell, you know, okay, here's my Q&A interviews. Here are my short tips. So he even says, and he's got a little description here that says only have a minute. That's plenty of time. So here's a way to get a taste of him, you know, in short videos. So he has it really well organized. And the other thing that's interesting, and because I pulled this up as well, is, you know, what Gary started with and what he was famous for was a YouTube show or a web TV show called Wine Library TV.
Wine Library TV, okay.
And the reason that I like to use this as an example, even though it's a couple years old, is that, you know, his show was enormously popular and really, you know, put him on the map. Every one of these episodes, I mean, this has almost 10,000 views, But the thing that I like to notice here is that, you know, this is not a fancy set. It's not well lit. It's, you know, not particularly nice or fancy, and the production values are not great, but the content is so focused, and, you know, he's so good at what he does on you know, reviewing wines, that that's what put him on the map. It certainly wasn't because he had a lovely background or perfect lighting.
Yeah, and he's one of the most well-known guys out there. But look at the numbers. I mean, his Wine Library TV is 963 videos. That's a lot of videos. His subscribers, though, is not that high. It's 9788, which is it's a lot. But there are people that have 40,000 or 100,000, whatever. But he's got a dedicated audience. So that's key to this, right? In a niche.
Yep. Show is Michelle Phan, P-H-A-N, who started doing, you know, makeup videos fairly, not too elaborate. They've gotten a lot more elaborate. But basically, if you wanted to get the Lady Gaga look, or a particular style of makeup, like here's one about Game of Thrones. She's got 2 million views on this video, over 2 million views. Now, she's wisely monetized them by allowing YouTube to put an ad at the beginning of it, but even before that, I mean, she's got 6 million subscribers, 2 million views just on this particular video. And, you know, what she was doing basically was really, you know, homemade, not very fancy makeup videos. You know, you want to do your makeup to look like Lady Gaga or the Game of Thrones lady? Great, watch this video. So now there's advertisements at the beginning of them, which is kind of a pain. But yeah, she's done really, really well with this and has become, you know, one of the, you know, YouTube celebrities.
So, I'm a little blown away by this, that there's 6 million views and, or 6 million subscribers and 2 million views on a video for makeup.
Yep.
How does that, I mean, how do we explain that?
Well, honestly, it was just a matter of content. I mean, you know, she was one of the first people to use YouTube to share content. And, you know, I'm sure with, like, you know, with the Lady Gaga video, one of her keywords is no doubt Lady Gaga, so that probably doesn't hurt.
Sure.
And the fact that, you know, she was prolific with it. I mean, she's got a lot of videos. Obviously, she's been doing it for a few years, but I wish I could find her very first one. Maybe there's a way to do that. But you know, when I was looking at these, I was just amazed. I mean, they've all got pretty much more than a million views. So it's just crazy. And she's just doing relatively simple things about, you know, okay, here's a guide to sunscreen, a million views. Okay, well, what if you want to look like, you know, the Gatsby makeup look? So, you know, for any kind of a look, she's got a video to go along with it. Now, again, she's got ads at the beginning of her videos, which are...
The numbers are amazing here, but she's using recognizable names like Game of Thrones or Lady Gaga or those kind of things. Obviously, you can do that, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think she's run into any problems with a million views on some of these videos.
Right. And I hope in a bit we can talk about some of the ways of monetization. For example, I'm sure she's making a ton of money from the advertisements.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So she's allowing ads to run. I mean, you can decide whether or not you want ads to run on your video.
Now, when she does a description, is she driving people back to a website or not?
Let me take a look at the specific video here. Yes, but not front and center. So normally your description would be right up front, but she's got a link down here that links back to 5 tips every successful woman should know. So let's see where that goes. So that goes back to what looks like her homepage.
So basically, this is the case where one woman has become She's competing with Glamour magazine or some of the big media mm-hmm. from the 70s and 80s, and she's winning.
Yeah, I mean, she's 25 years old, and I think I saw that, you know, she's worth like $3 million now, so she's doing okay.
She's doing all right. Cool.
Yep.
Cool. And it's the power of the niche, power of the content, and it looks like she also has done a really good job of creating topical content that has that has great searchability.
Exactly, because I think, you know, she's got, you know, if Game of Thrones is hot, so she's smart enough to realize, I think I'm going to show folks how to do that Game of Thrones makeup.
Yeah, I saw one up here that said, my boyfriend does my makeup, and that was like 5.5 million views, right? I mean, it's
wow,
enough.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously the production values have gotten better, but really she started with a camera, a webcam in front of a mirror putting on makeup. I mean, that's really where it all started.
Wow.
So it wasn't about, you know, the fancy graphics or any of that kind of stuff that, you know, she's added that now, but it certainly didn't begin that way.
So here's the other thing in her description. Look at her description there, which is she's got a ton of links in this description that take people back to her site.
To products.
Yep.
Yep. Because you really have a lot of leeway when you do your description. You've got a lot of room, and she uses it really effectively. She's going, you know, as you said, back to her site. She's linking to the music track here. I don't know if that's, you know, a friend or, and then she now has her own makeup line. So she's got a link to that, to her blog, to all the products she mentions.
Wow.
So, she's become a business on her own with that YouTube channel. And it's not like, you know, she didn't start with a book and then, you know, then add a YouTube channel. She started with her YouTube channel.
And added products and added brand and added the business.
Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, if she's using these L'Oreal, you know, I'm sure that that's an affiliate link.
Of course. If nothing else, to Amazon or something, other place where you can buy it with a commission. Yeah.
Yep.
Very interesting.
So she's used it really, really strategically and effectively.
So one of the things, though, about this that really brings me back to how you build your business with a from the goal, from the beginning, is she's obviously using her name as the brand.
Yep.
And that's a decision you have to make. Are you going to be the brand, or is your company going to be the brand? You said she's worth $3 million now, the last that you read, but she'd have to sell her name, right? And I guess that works in the makeup world because other people have sold mm-hmm. their name in the makeup and fashion world. But if you're thinking exit right. strategy, it's always easier to sell L'Oreal than it is Michelle Phan, I would think. But you can't not, I mean, there's a bunch of
like
people.
Okay, should I name my YouTube channel, you know, videomarketingmastery.com, or should I call it Louboutin.com?
Right.
Or Louboutin. And again, you know, if a lot of, you know, us internet marketers, we are our brand, and like Michelle, she's using her name.
Yep, yep. It's just a business decision. All right, that's an interesting thing to look at. I had no idea that was available.
Yeah, she's. I like this as a case study because, again, she's just a young girl doing makeup tutorials.
Right, right. Anything else you want to show us?
Well, I'll show you. Marie Forleo, just because a lot of people use her as an example of sort of an internet marketer or a coach who's really done it right as well. I mean, she's got, you know, very strong brand. Her videos tend to have the same look and feel and attitude. You know, she's got her, I'm subscribed to her channel. So again, I don't see that initial video that she has for subscribers, but so I'm going to see, you know, her most recent videos, her recent uploads. She's got a playlist of guest interviews, and these aren't too shabby either. I mean, 64,000 views, 62,000 views, 85,000 views, and she just basically goes on and answers viewers' questions. So really strongly branded, well organized channel. She's obviously a prolific producer with a ton of videos, saying that, you know, she's done a great job and her channel's really well branded and organized, and she's got a lovely little 93,000 subscribers.
Yeah, 93,000 subscribers, and she is doing coaching, basically, right?
So, yeah, she is a coach,
and I'm loving loving the way her channel looks because it's so clean and organized and easy to review. I also like that she puts the headline over her, and that those are very easy thumbnails that she's created, although they're a little hard to read. But she's put the headline right over it.
So, but you could go to, you know, any one of these. Here's one with 221,000 views. And see, she's got a little intro on her videos, which is also a good way to brand. You know, you can do a little 5-second, 10-second intro and brand your videos that way. So, again, she's very well branded. She says, here, come on over to mariefolio.com. So she's got her link there. She's got basically, you know, if it's not an exact transcript, a version of her transcript.
And her description there is amazing. It's like a blog post.
Yeah, essentially it's, you know, the content of the video, but in a written form.
So that's got to be great for search as well, because I can't imagine that that description doesn't get you right to the top of whatever list you want to go to.
Exactly. And you know, YouTube gives you that space and that ability to add a long description. So why not use that real estate?
That is amazing. I always put in like a 3 sentences and I think I'm done.
Yeah, I get kind of lazy about that myself, but I mean, you can here you can have YouTube do the transcript for you, but they kind of butcher it. So
yeah,
she's gone and done, you know, her own version here.
But it probably would be a great way to start, that you could actually outsource that and have somebody take that transcript and rewrite the whole thing to get it right.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, I wouldn't be surprised that, you know, she's got. I won't go back to the video, but you know, it's basically, I'm sure, the same thing she's saying in the video. She's got written out here in her description.
Sure, sure. That makes a ton of sense. So I'm loving the way that you are showing these case studies as really strategic views or strategic purposes for how they're managing their YouTube channel.
Yeah, so it's very well thought out. It's certainly not random. She's not just throwing a bunch of videos up on YouTube. She's got, you know, playlists. She's, you know, very well branded. The production values on her videos are very good. She I believe she still shoots, you know, several in a day. So she'll get together and she's got, you know, lighting people, and she's, you know, doing it right now. And she'll do a bunch, you know, and just kind of gang them all in one afternoon so that she's got a month or 6 weeks worth of videos that she'll do in a day.
Wow. So one day of work and she's managing all of this. Mm-hmm. That's pretty amazing. So is this... And I would expect that she didn't start with lighting, and she didn't start with a crew. She probably started with, like everybody else, with, you know, down and dirty. That's the way we all start.
Yeah. And even then, you know, again, it's not. It wasn't so much about the lighting as it was just that she was providing good, focused content to a really well-defined niche.
Okay. So it sounds like what we're coming up with here on the marketing piece of all this, and I'm typing this into the document as we go, is that I'm seeing the focus has to be on the content you deliver.
Yep. So it all really starts with the content.
So if you're going to deliver good content, tell me what the qualities of good content are from a video perspective.
Yeah, well, and I've managed to make these all begin with the letter C, but, you know, obviously it's got to be compelling and engaging. I always say, you know, your video has to pass the who cares test. So when you post a video and you ask yourself, you know, this sort of hard question, why should anybody watch this? Who cares?
Okay.
And in, you know, Marie's case, sell more. Well, that's a pretty good who cares headline. Mm-hmm. So you've got to be compelling, and you've got to have a call to action. A lot of videos are just kind of, they put on YouTube and then it's like, okay, well, what do you want the viewer to do when they watch the video? Now, in Marie's case, you know, most of the call to actions are probably going to drive back to her website or maybe promote a specific product or service. But she doesn't just say, see you next time. She's, you know, there's always a call to action on every video.
Okay, and what else? We have call to action, sell more, who cares, test, engaging, compelling. It can be short or long, doesn't matter. The length doesn't matter as long as it meets those others, right?
It doesn't matter, but the first, and this is according to YouTube itself, the first 15 seconds are the most important because that's when someone's going to make the decision whether or not to stick with it.
Okay, so if you haven't caught them in the first 15 seconds, you haven't caught them at all.
Right. So in Marie's videos, because they're branded, again, she doesn't allow an ad at the beginning. She's got her little, how long is it? 3, 4, 5 second intro. That's mm-hmm. it. 5 seconds, and then right to Marie.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not as pretty as Marie, so I have to depend on other things like, you know, props or costumes, or I put my dog, mm-hmm. my pug in my a lot of my videos. So if you don't, I wouldn't say if you don't have charisma. Everybody sort of has inner charisma, but if you can't summon up that charisma, you've got to do something, you know, creative and engaging, or props, pets, kids, anything that's going to help share a little bit of your personality to separate your video from the, you know, 8 billion videos that are on YouTube.
Right. All right. So, boy, that's something to think about, too, is how do you have to decide again. This is strategic. You have to decide whether you want to be classy or dumb or, you know, what persona that you want to put out there, right? So that's all got to fit in your strategic view for your marketing.
Right. Yeah, and that, you know, I when I was first doing these, again, I didn't want to be on camera, so I'd sort of hide behind props and costumes. And, you know, you mentioned I had my Scooter the Short Attention Span squirrel mask and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have to walk a fine line because, you know, if people say, well, I want you to do my video marketing strategy, but I don't want to dress up as a squirrel. It's like,
right.
Well, no, you've got to be you. You'll have your own shtick or your own whatever. And again, personality is not necessarily about being big or loud or beautiful. It's just about, you know, really being authentic and letting that part of you kind of shine on video.
Okay, so
there's another quick case study. I don't have it pulled up here, but if you go to Will It Blend and the Blend Tech Blender people. Now this guy didn't have a lot of personality. He was an employee, but his whole shtick was let's try and blend crazy things like iPhones and iPads in a blender and see if our blenders will.
Oh, I remember that. I remember that. Yeah, and that got a ton of views too.
Yeah, I mean, it really skyrocketed their business, and it wasn't because of the person doing the blending. It was the blender was the personality. The blender was the star.
Sure. So Terry's saying, is there a benefit to leaving the amount of views shown on the channel, or is it okay to take that part off?
I don't even know if you can take it off, to be honest with you. I think that's going to show by default.
Right.
This number here, the number of views, that's going to... That's just YouTube's just going to show that.
That's what I thought. It's one of the ways they measure how they're going to deliver it too, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with 8 billion views or 8 billion videos, they got to figure out a way to put stuff in that right sidebar. So I would think views is a big factor in that. One of the things I'm noticing here too is that Marie, I believe, may be using your, maybe not. I was going to say your unique keyword,
mm-hmm.
but she's got a lot of those in the right.
You know, obviously, and I think she has so many videos that obviously it's easier for her to come up on her related videos as well.
Sure.
The majority of them are hers.
Sure. Okay, so...
Also comments.
Now, ask about comments. That's what I was going to ask about, actually.
You know, to decide which videos to serve up is interaction and comments. So Marie's really good at, you know, working her community. So she encourages comments. She gets a lot of content. She gets a lot of, you know, thumbs up, people that like the video.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of interaction and community in here. And YouTube loves that. They love to see that community element.
Now, YouTube's gotten better about filtering out comments that are inappropriate, right?
Yeah, I mean, again, you may get a spam here and there, but for the most part, they've got a pretty clean stream here of good comments.
So, when it comes to the comment thing, how do you get, I mean, this is a ton of comments. Of course, she's got a lot of views. How do you ensure that you get a lot of comments and a lot of likes? What do you do for that?
Well, it's like, you know, again, with using a call to action, you really have to ask for it, and you really have to tell your viewer exactly what to do. You know, she's trained her folks now to, you know, leave a comment below. And if she emails this and says, you know, I've got a new video about manifesting, please go to YouTube and make a comment. Because she has an engaged community and she's, you know, kind of worked with them for a while and kind of trained them to do that, she's going to get feedback if she asks for it.
And that's a really good example. This one you're looking at is a really good example of a call to action because it's right there in the very first line. Come on over to this link where the main discussion happens after the episode.
Yeah. I don't know if she says. So she's got, you know, more links down here to manifesting on her website. Here she's got her YouTube playlist. So, she, you know, she's really specific. And that's the thing with, you know, with call to actions, you have to be very specific and direct. And, you know, you can't really be around the bush. It's like, you know, make a comment below and tell me what you think. Mm-hmm. You know, it's simple as that.
Mm-hmm. And if you like this, click the like button.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. So be very specific is the key here. Okay. This is good stuff, Lou. What else? How else are we going to market this, our video playlist and our channel, to get more views and more engagement?
You know, again, share on social media. And a lot of folks think, you know, okay, well, I already tweeted out the link to my video, so I'm done. You know, I'll go back to an older video and I will, you know, resend it to Facebook, resend it to Twitter. Especially Twitter, because if, you know, if somebody wasn't on Twitter at that particular moment, you know, it's long gone. Mm-hmm. So it's okay to repurpose and reshare those links and keep coming back to your site and keep, you know, basically keep promoting the video after you've uploaded it. So it isn't just kind of like, okay, I uploaded it, I shared it to Facebook, I'm done.
So if you do you use Hootsuite or any kind of program like that to schedule these out as well?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I use something called Buffer.
BufferApp.com.
So what I can do is, if I know, especially if I'm traveling, I know, okay, I'm leaving on a trip Monday. I want to have some social media presence. I want to promote my video. You know, on Sunday night, I can go into Buffer and schedule tweets or Facebook posts that drive people back to my videos on YouTube. So, hey, if you missed the tip number 4 on using keywords in your videos, you can check it out here.
Mm-hmm. So the reason I asked that is because it seems like you can almost create an entire schedule to replay any of your popular videos that get a lot of traction and attention over and over using your scheduling tools.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go back to, you know, my Moses video from 3 years ago and say, oh, I haven't tweeted that out lately. Or, you know, there's a whole kind of new generation of fans that haven't seen it. So, why not repurpose and reuse it?
Sure, sure. So that's another thing that we really forget is once we've created it, it is there to be, it's like reruns on TV, right? I mean,
yep.
Often I will see things that I've seen before on TV, and I, you know, if it's a show that I like, I'll watch it again just because mm-hmm. I liked it. And people will do that as well with your YouTube channel.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, think in that case, you should think like a TV channel and realize that, you know, it's okay to do reruns. It's okay to retweet the link to your video. You really just have to give people every opportunity to see it. And that's why, you know, there may be, you may have a certain audience on Pinterest and you want to share that video to Pinterest, and you can share videos on Pinterest. You know, you may have a different audience on LinkedIn. You want to make sure that you share your video to LinkedIn.
What about
so
that?
You want to give the audience every chance to see it, no matter where they may be.
What about the other video channels?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly doesn't hurt. I mean, YouTube's sort of the 800-pound gorilla, but it certainly doesn't hurt to have your video on Vidler or Vimeo. Vimeo is really popular. But again, you know, you want to try and go where your audience is. So if I know my audience is not college kids, I'm not going to put my video on collegehumor.com.
Right.
YouTube does, sort of cover the most area, but there may be some people that are purists and they love their Vimeo and they only want to watch videos on Vimeo. And, it's just a matter of adding it to that account as well.
Now, you can't share from YouTube to those other channels, but you have to upload separately, right?
Yeah, on the other video hosting sites. And there used to be, and I think there still is actually, a few services like TubeMogul and what's the Mike Koenig's one? Traffic Geyser.
Yeah.
Yeah, that allows you to basically blast your video to several video hosting sites at once.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing, I think, is coming back to, where is your audience? For me, in my case, I actually spend more time working on my videos for Facebook because I know that I'm going to get a lot of interaction and comments there.
Mm-hmm.
So in my case, YouTube is kind of secondary because I know that for me, my audience and my target market, it's more likely that they'll see my video on Facebook.
Okay. So you don't focus as YouTube being your eventual or your primary hub. You focus on Facebook being your primary hub and using YouTube to drive more Facebook content.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And Facebook is, I believe, the third biggest video viewing site.
Mm-hmm.
Last I checked. So it's, again, it's another great place to make sure that your video shows up consistently.
Okay. This has been really good information. I'm really getting a lot out of this. So if you guys have any questions for Lou, be sure to drop them in here. Terry says, by the way, she can remove the views and does on hers. So I'm wondering what
cool.
the benefit of that is. If you are waiting to get more views to put those up, it seems like something that you want to manage. As you get more views, I would think that's more social proof for you. But I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, I know, when I go to one of my videos and I see it has 14 views, it's like, well, that's okay because that's a private video. But
right.
if it's public and it's only gotten 14 views, then I know I need to fix something.
Well, that also means that you might want to promote it on Facebook or Twitter or, mm-hmm. or do a better job of marketing it, right?
Yep.
Okay. Any other case studies you want to show us?
Let me take a quick look up here. I will give you the YouTube recently came out with a new creator playbook.
Oh, good.
And this is kind of the secret sauce behind YouTube. If you go to YouTube or you Google YouTube creator playbook, this is a new version that's almost 100 pages, and they're basically telling you, here's how to get more views, here's how to make your YouTube channel as good as it can be. So there's just a treasure trove of information in this playbook. I think I'm only on page 25 or something, and I'm just kind of trying to absorb it all. But, if people say, well, YouTube's a mystery, I can't figure out the algorithm, I don't know what works and what doesn't work. Well, they tell you what works and what doesn't work in their playbook.
Mm-hmm. And you'll give us the link to that?
Yep. Hold on a second. Let me find that here.
I see it right there.
I came in the back way here.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So I want to make sure I give you the right one.
Well, maybe I can see it.
I believe it's just youtube.com/playbook. This is a PDF. I guess I can just put this one on and see if that will work. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that might work. that may go to the actual PDF, but that's okay. So I basically just downloaded this PDF because it's 88 pages. So.
YouTube.com playbook looks like it is going to do that. Cool. Okay. I've got the link. I'll put it in the box here. Here we go.
Excellent. Do you want me to give you back screen here?
No, it's good. It's good. I'm just putting it in the chat box so people have it there. There you go.
So this is, I have, like I said, this just came out a couple weeks ago, and I haven't gotten all the way through it. But if you have the patience to dig through it, there's just a huge amount of information here.
Yeah, that's always what it comes to is reading the directions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and I'm usually, even in this session, I've seen, seven things I need to go back and do for my YouTube channel that I haven't done yet.
Sure. Sure, and it is a constant maintenance, just like any marketing effort is. It's about consistency, right?
Yep, and you can see with, you know, Michelle Phan and with Gary and Marie, they have been consistent and prolific in their videos. So it's certainly not a one and done, oh, I did a video and it didn't work. It's like, well, Marie's got 200 videos and Michelle Phan's got, you know, whatever it is, 700 videos. And, you know, they're really using this, well, you know, not a ridiculous amount, 243 videos. And, you know, she's made a nice career out of that.
Yeah, I'll say. Okay. Let's see, what else are we getting to here? I'm going to bring back the, unless you've got another case study you want to go through.
No, that's it.
Okay. We've captured a lot of information here about marketing, and that's really what we want to do is get in deep on the marketing here and how to make this work. I love case studies. That's very helpful. The sharing and the tools. Do we have any questions about the sharing and the tools? Arthur's asking about Vine. Do you use Vine? Are there any benefits to Vine for marketers?
Yes. I don't use it as much as I should, but it's they will allow you to do 6-second videos, and it's owned by Twitter, so there's some benefit right there. And at the moment, you know, it seems to be a lot of the, I know when my teenagers are using it, they're like, Dad, don't do Vine because we're doing Vine. But, you know, what can you do in 6 seconds? I mean, you can preview your video, you can do an intro, you can say, you know, go watch the rest of this video here. So even though it only allows you 6 seconds, it's a great way to share content. And, you know, another platform that's really opening up and, you know, sort of like Facebook used to be and YouTube used to be all teenagers, I think it's going to eventually become more mainstream.
Okay.
And again, just the fact that they're owned by Twitter means that they're probably not going away.
Yeah, let's put that
and
in
Instagram
here.
Can do videos too, and Instagram gives you 15 seconds.
Okay. Do you use any of the tools? I think you actually use Animoto and other tools like that sometimes to create videos, don't you?
Yeah, definitely Animoto. Mm-hmm. I like Stupaflix for photo montages. It's STUPEFLIX.com.
Yeah, hold on. You're going to spell that again. Okay. So it was Superflix?
Stupaflix. STUPEFLIX.
Okay.
.com.
And
I use that to do photo montages. Like, I think, you know, one of the things that's fun that I did before the NAMS conference was I'd get all the Facebook photos of all the instructors
right.
and put them into Stupaflix and basically just do a montage, like here's who's teaching at NAMS this year or this month. And, you know, I could use it to promote NAMS as an affiliate. I could use it just to sort of as a shout-out to the instructors to kind of say, hey, you know, I've always wanted to meet so-and-so and they're an instructor, and now that I put them in this video, you know, they're going to I sort of have a conversation starter.
Man, that sounds like a great opportunity for getting joint venture conversations started, too. If you don't know somebody, you go grab all the pictures
absolutely.
Of them
so,
and create a montage.
If you don't want to be on camera also, because you're basically making somebody else the star. And then the other two that I use quite a bit are powtoon.com, mm-hmm. P-O-W-T-O-O-N.
Yeah, I have some experience with Powtoon, too. I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm. And because that will let you basically do animation without having to learn animation. Mm-hmm. And then the other popular one that does all the sketch videos is VideoScribe.
Right.
But they're actually at a company called Sparkol.com, Sparkol.com.
And have you tried the new article of video tool?
No, I see Jeff Herring using it. But
yeah.
I haven't really played with that yet.
It's pretty cool, too. I have that as well, article to video. And I'll put the links in here for all of this stuff in a bit, too. So we'll have all of that. And those are some tools to create videos pretty quickly. There's one more that I saw and purchased, which is another, well, we'll get to it. It's a VideoScribe tool that is very similar, but it doesn't have the annual fee. It's a one-time fee kind of thing. So take a look
cool.
at that. Yeah. So, when you're creating videos using these tools, what are you trying to do from a marketing standpoint versus your live action or your training mm-hmm. videos?
Well, again, it's another way to tell a story that's unique and engaging. Just plain talking head videos can be pretty boring. It's a way just to, you know, make something that's a little bit different or engaging. In some ways, it might be easier to tell a story. A lot of people do what's called explainer videos with those animated resources.
Oh, yeah.
That's even, I think, become sort of a category or a name in itself, explainer videos. If you've got a product or service, it's often easier to tell that story using some kind of animated video, whether it's VideoScribe and a sketch video, things like that.
Right. Right. In fact, I've done...
And a lot of times I just call them... I call them my bad hair day videos, because if I have a choice of saying, I need to promote this webinar, I can either get on camera and talk about it, or I can do a VideoScribe, a 30-second VideoScribe. You know, chances are I'm going to do the VideoScribe video.
Mm-hmm. So you figured out VideoScribe so that you can do it quickly. Is there a learning curve with it?
And VideoScribe, you know, it's a UK company. I want to say it's about $120 a year mm-hmm. to use VideoScribe.
Right, right. And how about the learning curve on these tools? Is it the learning curve?
Stupaflix is 2 minutes. You know, Powtoon, again, a little bit more just because if you want to start to add music and things like that. But really, I mean, in 20 minutes or half an hour, you can really kind of be up and running with these tools and crank out videos very quickly.
Okay. Okay. Let's see. I think we're coming close to the end of our session here today. We've got like 10 minutes left. If you don't mind, Lou, talk a little bit more about maybe some specific ways to use playlists or anything that you think we've mm-hmm. missed that's really important in the marketing piece.
Right. Well, playlists, basically what YouTube says and the benefit there is that it keeps people on your channel longer and keeps them engaged with you. So if I have a series of two-minute tips and they're in a playlist, they're basically going to play one right after the other for that person. Mm-hmm. And that way, you know, somebody can spend 10 minutes watching tips rather than, you know, watching a two-minute tip and then jumping off and going somewhere else. So playlists are really good for keeping people engaged, keeping them on your site. And I often say that if you have content to share, it's better to do 5 2-minute videos than it is to do 1 10-minute video with the, you know, same amount of content, slice and dice it down to short, easily digestible tips, and then put them in a playlist.
Okay, so you can deliver the whole thing, but... just quickly. You know, we started doing tutorial packages not long ago, mm-hmm. and the goal is that we're always doing a tutorial package. We might have 20 videos, but they're all under 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. So you can get a specific task and understand that task and then go through the next thing. So like we do a Dropbox video tutorial. That's worked out really well. People mm-hmm. really like the 3-minute length on these.
Yeah,
things.
I think that's a great way to do it. And that's, you know, again, another way to use YouTube, because when you think about it, if a lot of folks are watching this on mobile, you know, when I'm going, okay, I have 3 minutes, I can go on and watch, or I have 5 minutes, I can watch 3 tips in 5 minutes because it's so easy to digest. So if you create your content in a way that it's easy for people to digest, they can watch it on the run, they can watch it on any device, then there's a much greater chance that they'll actually consume the content.
And they're willing to risk 2 minutes versus they see that this is a 15-minute video and, you know, not going to do that.
Yeah.
We have to remember we have a very short attention span these days.
Yeah, I mean, I get, you know, aggravated when I go on, you know, sometimes when I go on a video sales page and I can't see the length of the video. I want to see what I'm in for, you know. It's like, hey, they won't let me know how long this is, so I don't know how long to watch it.
Right, right. Unfortunately, tests have shown that those video sales letters that show you the length of the video don't convert nearly as well as the ones that do. I mean, vice versa, I'm sorry. The ones that show you the length don't convert as well as the ones that don't.
Yeah, So that's, you know, I mean, it may not be ideal from a consumer standpoint, but if you're a marketer, it works. And I think, you know, maybe there's something behind the psychology of like, well, I'm already 5 minutes into this. I might as well watch the rest of it.
Right. I've invested this much. Where is this going?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Okay. And so playlists, that's a great way. Slice and dice, keep things together. You can create as many playlists as you want, right?
Yep.
So there's no limit.
Nope. Just you can put other people's videos in your playlist. So if I'm doing, you know, like I'm a book yourself solid certified coach, so I could, you know, maybe it's appropriate for me to add a Michael Port video in there somewhere because I'm talking about a specific thing that he talks about. So yeah, there's a lot of flexibility there.
So let's talk about that for a second, because that seems like a great way to leverage other folks, both to borrow their credibility and their content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Now, I don't know if, you know, obviously you're not going to get the halo effect of all the views that they have. So
right.
You can't necessarily coattail on it that way, but you can certainly, you know, include that in your playlist to say, you know, I should do a playlist like his great case studies and show them Marie Forleo's and Gary Vaynerchuk's and things like that. I just hadn't thought of it before.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm actually thinking about a bunch of stuff. You know, we have so much video content from our NAMS mm-hmm. workshops. Man, we could sit and break that stuff into best tips from Lou Bortone, because you've taught 5 or 6 times. And
yep.
We could actually create a heck of a video channel playlist from that, just from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Boy. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the possibilities are endless. It's just a matter of, you know...
time, effort, ROI.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the funny thing about the YouTube playbook that I mentioned earlier is they've actually got... you know, little icons that show you, here's how much time this will take, and, you know, here's how much it impacts your YouTube account. So you can just go in and see, like, okay, obviously YouTube thinks playlists are a big deal, and if it only takes me 15 minutes to go organize them, that's time well spent.
Mm-hmm. All right. You know, I think, unless you have something else to throw in here, I think that we've got a good jump on a lot that we can do for this afternoon for implementation. And I think we've got this step 1, 2, and 3, and then we have sub-steps under each of those. So in step 1, we're going to look at our channel goal, create a welcome video, and make sure that we're not doing anything that we shouldn't be doing on our video channel.
Mm-hmm.
Step 2, we're going to start populating our channel with videos from all of the content that we already have or content that we're going to create. Step 3 is we're going to start marketing that stuff. As soon as we put our first one up, we'll start marketing it and figuring mm-hmm. out how to market using different tools, creating different, more content. We'll organize this a little better into content and marketing. And step 3 is really all about playlist. To get the most out of our
yep.
organization and our branding, really. That's really about our branding, isn't it?
Yep, it is.
Now, we haven't really talked specifically about the channel, but mm-hmm. but I think what we'll probably do back up here in step 1 this afternoon is we'll look at the different templates and the different ways that we can create our brand for our channel in our YouTube page as well. Any tips about
yep.
that?
Typically it's, you know, I think from a branding perspective, because that's my background, is, you know, you want to make that look as much like the rest of your brand as possible. So in my case, I'd go to my website and I'd say, okay, I use this blue background on my website, and then I'd create something. You actually have to start with Google Plus. So whatever you create as your background for Google Plus, YouTube's going to take a piece of that.
Okay.
And if you go into the channel settings, YouTube will show you, you know, here are the dimensions that you need to put up your graphics, and then you use that for your YouTube channel. If that ties back to your website, then all the better. I mean, Marie does it really well, as you saw on her website. You know, she's not using something that looks different. It all is consistent with her overall brand.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so we'll do that in step 1 as well. And... Back at the playlist down here, we're going to organize our playlist by keywords and by content, and look at ways to create a marketing schedule for our playlist as well as we do for our videos. We can market our entire playlist as well. Is it beneficial to market your playlist, or do you want to drive people into your first videos? Or
yeah, absolutely, because your playlist, actually I tried this morning, it wasn't working on my particular channel, but you can add keywords to your playlists and promote those just like you promote individual videos.
So if you're going to promote like an ebook, that would be an entire bunch of content. But if you were going to promote a playlist, that's an entire bunch of content too. It's just broken up in smaller pieces.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So every product you have could be a different playlist.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I could do, you know, my 25 tips ebook as 25 videos and put them in a playlist and make sure that playlist has specific keywords and a description.
And all driving back to purchase product, the product sales letter or whatever you've got. Interesting.
Yep.
Okay, so I can see now that if I'm doing a push for my Insiders Club, which these people are all insiders and they get the benefits of being an insider every week, if I'm doing a push for the Insiders Club, I could create an Insiders Club playlist and really start driving more and more people into that playlist so they see what they get inside of the Insiders Club.
Yes.
So now that's coming together. That's cool. Okay. Lou, this has been really helpful. Thank you so much for doing this. I know it's a big chunk of time.
I learned a few things myself, so thank you.
Well, isn't that great? I mean, we can share and we can figure out this stuff as we go. So this afternoon, we're going to look at this. This is our prototype that we've created in our six-step system, which is the Dream Prototype Test. I think probably from the test perspective, let me get this closed again. From the test perspective, one of the things that we like to do is come up with a prototype that we can actually test before we execute a whole lot. So in your YouTube marketing or your YouTube channel setup, your playlist setup, do you do anything to test to see if it's going to be successful before you roll it all out, go through your goals?
I probably should, but I don't.
So you just throw it out there and away you go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are some videos that I might start on Facebook and then put them on YouTube, but for the most part, I just, you know, put it up and say, you know what, I'll see what the reaction is and kind of test it on the fly. And, you know, if something's drastically wrong or it's getting bad comments or it's not getting any views, then I'll go back and tweak it.
So that is testing your prototype, basically, because what you're doing is you're taking the initial video, and if that gets great, you're going to do a lot more on that video, right?
Yes.
Okay. So
so I can say, like, you know, wow, I got, you know, 3,000 views on the Moses 10 Commandments of video. Maybe I should do a 10 Commandments of online marketing or 10 Commandments of
Sure. Sure, that makes sense completely.
But I can't find the Moses wig, so I can't do that now.
Well, there is that, right? So we'll work on our testing this afternoon and the execution of this whole thing, and then we always like to get the feedback and then go back into the improvement phase, which means do more of what works, do less of what doesn't. So. Mm-hmm. All right, Terry Bork said this has been awesome. Thank you so much for the great information. Stan says thanks, Lou and David, great as always. And Ute is here and she's saying fabulous, Lou. Thank you. So
thank you.
Really appreciate your time. And folks, we will meet back here at in 2 hours and go into part two with the testing execute feedback. So thanks again. We'll talk to you soon. Again, thanks.
Thanks. Lou. Have fun.
You bet. Bye bye.
Bye bye.